Sex, Book 3, Lesson 98, Part 1, Warming Up Exercises. Note-taking, Vocational Programs. You are going to hear a short introduction to the vocational programs offered in a college. Listen carefully. Note down the programs offered and the length of each program. The college offers vocational programs of various types in areas of business, skilled trades, or service occupations. They vary in length from 3 weeks to 14 months. Now, I'd like to give you a list of these programs. Number one, we have accounting, which includes accounting clerk, 5 months, and commercial accounting, 10 months. Number two, we have automotive mechanics, which lasts 5 months. Number three, cook training, up to 12 months. Number four, dental assistant, covering 10 months. Number five, drafting, 10 months. Next, early childhood education and care, 9 months. We also offer general mechanics, which covers 8 months. And heavy duty mechanics, which lasts 14 weeks. Next, that's number nine, there is hairdressing, 7 months. Industrial timekeeping is next on the list, which is a 5-month program. Number 11, we have 6 programs all under the heading of office administration. They are office clerk, 4 months, bookkeeping, 6 months, clerk typist, 7 months, legal secretary, 12 to 14 months. Medical office assistant, 10 months. And secretary, 9 months. Number 12, there is a program for wastewater treatment operator, which covers 8 months. Next comes a program for welding, 7 months. And last, we have nursing, which includes a 7-month practical nursing program, and a 16-week long-term care and homemakers. Vocational Training Development.
Vocational training has gone through many stages of development in American history. It was given to the children of the poor during the colonial period through the system of apprenticeship. Boys were bound out for a few years to a master who agreed to teach them a trade and to look after their welfare. Often, the agreement required that the apprentice be taught to read and write. With the advent of the academy, instruction was given for training in occupations. It was Benjamin Franklin's hope in planning his academy that young people should learn those things that are likely to be most useful. He wanted emphasis to be placed on the professions which the young men wished to follow. Other academies were founded with similar purposes. Then came vocational training in high school. A reason for the building of the first high school was that a parent wished to give his child an education which would prepare him for an active life and serve as a basis for a profession.
Exercises. Complete the statements under the heading of main ideas, and then write down in the right-hand column the words that you think are important to support the main ideas listed in the left-hand column.
Thank you.
Part 3.
Do you work to live or live to work? A group of people from different walks of life are being interviewed about what role work plays in their lives. Their attitudes, as we can see, vary.
Mr. Fisher, you are an accountant and earn a good enough salary to enable you to live comfortably. What does your work mean to you?
I regard it as a means to an end. Basically, I'm a family man. And as long as I have a job which enables me to earn enough money to live well, I'm happy. I find a comfortable life compensates for the fact that I have a routine life and 3 weeks' holiday per year.
So, in fact, you don't really mind what you do for a living?
I didn't say that. I wouldn't want to be a manual worker, for instance. I enjoy my profession up to a point, but it certainly doesn't rule my life. As soon as I get home, I forget about the office. I suppose you could say, I work to live.
Miss Burns, as a schoolteacher in a working-class area of London, how do you feel about Mr. Fisher's attitude towards his work?
Personally, I couldn't work to live. I must enjoy whatever I do, even if the salary is low. Otherwise, I feel it isn't worth doing.
Of course, Miss Burns, you do have long holidays, which must be a great compensation. Also, you aren't married and therefore have no family responsibilities.
Being single has nothing to do with it. Even if I were married, I'd still have to have a fulfilling profession.
In other words, Miss Burns, work plays one of the most important roles in your life.
Definitely. It gives me the mental satisfaction I need and a role in society. Contrary to Mr. Fisher, I can say that I live to work.
Of course, Mr. Fisher is employed by a company and Miss Burns by a school, and therefore both have a certain amount of guaranteed security. Mr. Evans' history is unusual. At the age of 40, he gave up a good job in industry to do what he had always wanted to do, become a journalist and photographer. He's self-employed and does freelance work. Mr. Evans, do you have any regrets?
Yes, one. That is that I didn't resign from my other job when I was younger.
What made you leave the business world?
Well, although I had a good salary and a job which involved a lot of traveling abroad, I always felt I was in the wrong job. I felt tense all the time, and I suddenly realized that in spite of security and what seemed to my friends to be an exciting job, I'd stopped enjoying simple but important things.
Don't you consider your choice rather selfish? What about your wife and family?
They're delighted. They see the change in me, find me more relaxed, and therefore my relationship with my wife and family has improved, because I'm not frustrated anymore. It's because I'm doing what I want to do.
Do you work as hard as before?
Yes, even harder. But I'm self-disciplined, and I find that working hard for a few hours gives me time to play hard, too. I have a more balanced life.
So, in fact, you too have a routine life.
Of course. Everything becomes routine after a while. But it's up to us to make that routine a creative experience.
Oh, yes, I do agree.
And we mustn't forget that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Exercises. Complete the notes with...